Niesta, area of NA. All right.
Manatic name, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Clean dates, March 21st of 2009. I was asked to do this at the last minute. But I was always taught that I'm not ever supposed to say no to this program. I mean, I don't understand why I would. It would. It's something that saved my life and has given me a life. More than I ever had before. I don't know, can we have a moment of silence, followed by a serenity prayer so I can get out of the way? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Like I said, I'm an addict named Mike. Admitted to myself, God, and another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. I don't know, I guess part of the exact nature of why I became an addict was I just wanted to be accepted. And I wasn't accepted in too many groups or circles of people. But, I found that if I had some drugs or some booze, that people liked me. You know, or at least I thought they did. Or if I knew where to get them, it was an easy way to get accepted into circles that they really didn't... those people really didn't care about me or who I was or where I came from. All they wanted was what I had, you know. Today, the people that want what I have actually want what I have, and that's a blessing. You know, to get to the exact nature of my wrongs, I had to work a few steps before that. You know, I had to realize I was powerless over a whole lot of stuff in life. I had to come to believe. And then I had to become willing to ask God to take over. Then I had to get down and dirty and go back and remember the things I did. You know, sharing those things with someone, which was my sponsor, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Like, you know, he came to my house and we sat there. And we just kind of conversated. And, it was really pretty simple. And I found out that I really wasn't that much different than him. And that he really wasn't that much different from me. Man, we had some different... There was some differences, but... The differences weren't important. It's all the similarities, you know? Getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. I did whatever I had to do. He did whatever he had to do. You know? Some of us lived on the street. Some of us... lived in big houses. Some people stole from their parents and some of us just robbed from the public. You know, I stole something from my parents that was more valuable than money could ever come close to, and that was their son. You know, I kept myself separated from them and pushed them away from me for many, many years. Today I'm grateful that, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. Like, you know, I made amends to my parents for being the way I was. And whether they accept it or not, it didn't really matter. I had to do my part. I had to clean up my side of the street and make that amends. I had to let them know why I did that. Like, it really wasn't them, it was me. It was the fact that I didn't want to live the way they wanted me to. And all they wanted for me was what was best. I mean, they didn't tell me anything to hurt me or that was going to hurt me. They just tried to do their best and give me guidance. You know, today in my life, me and my dad have a great relationship, father and son. Like, I can go to him and ask him for help, ask him to explain stuff to me, and he does. Like, he doesn't have a problem with that. Whereas, up until a few years ago, man, there wasn't nothing that man could tell me that I didn't already know. There wasn't nothing that man could tell me that I didn't know how to do it better. And, you know, I understand the frustration and the pain that I caused him through being that way. And it wasn't his fault. It was my fault. You know? I took the journey 3,000 miles away from him to California. And after I was there for a few months and talked to him on the phone, he said to me, "Oh, so you're living my dream." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Oh, well, I always wanted to go there." I said, "No, I had no idea you ever wanted to come here." I said, "This is where I've wanted to go for as long as I can remember." And we left it at that. You know, I would call him once a week to check in, let him know I was alive. And I wasn't really doing too good. I was living on the street, sleeping in the back of strangers' cars. I had a job, but, you know, like, it was so I could have money to get high. And he surprised me. He came to see me. Like, I had no idea he was coming. It was never talked about or mentioned. And I was working as a cashier at Kmart. And him and my stepmom showed up in my line, and, like, I looked them dead in their face and asked them, "Hey, how are you doing today? Did you find everything all right?" Didn't even realize it was them. And they had this bag they had set on the countertop there, and I thought they were returning something. And I slid this bag over, and I opened this bag up. There was a picture of my niece with a plastic tin of cookies and three red apples underneath that tin of cookies. And I looked at that, and I seen my niece and this stuff, and I looked up, and it still took me a minute to realize it was my dad and his wife standing there. And, you know, it blew my mind, because I had just spoke to him the night before. He called me and asked me how the weather was, as I was riding my bicycle to go to a friend's house. Told him it was really windy and stuff. He never let on that he was there. At that time, I was sleeping on the floor of a machine shop because I didn't have enough money to rent a place because I was busy drinking and getting high. But there was this old man that my cousin out there, who was like 60, had lived with, and they had let me stay with them for a little while in this old folks community, and I just couldn't be there no more. Like, my drinking and stuff had got out of control, and woke up in a puddle of piss one morning, all over the kitchen floor, and they'd been sitting at the computer, and just trashed the place. I couldn't stay there no more. You know, I was ruining their home as well as my life. But I didn't see it that I was ruining my life. I was just having fun. So anyways, yeah, my dad and my stepmom show up. And, I didn't get high while they were there. Like, I didn't want them to see me that way. And, we went outside at Kmart smoke a cigarette. Like, I went and talked to my manager and said, look, my dad, my stepmom are here. Like, I had no idea they were coming. They just showed up. I go outside and smoke. Like, I didn't even ask. I just told them, you know, look, I'm going outside to smoke a cigarette with them. And you know, we get outside, my dad just kind of pokes me in my gut. And he says, well, you've been eating at least. And I've been eating, but not, I wasn't all sucked up Skeletor looking yet, you know. But that did come later. You know, I had a really nice week while they were there, and I was going to try and get off work, and my dad said, no, you got to go to work. We'll find something to do. Don't worry about it. He said, that's why we didn't tell you we were coming. Go ahead, you go to work. Your life can't stop just because I'm here. Today I understand that. Like, you know, life, I can't just stop life and work and business just because somebody comes to see me. Like, I didn't get where I'm at today by putting life on hold. You know, life shows up on a regular daily basis for me. And, you know, without this program in my life, without getting to the exact nature of my wrongs, you know, wanting to be accepted and my self-centered ego that I want what I want when I want it, how I want it, where I want it, with whom I want it, you know, I wouldn't be the person I am today. You know, I love this disease and I hate this disease. This disease has made me who I am today. You know, without this disease and the path that I went down, I wouldn't be the person I am today and able to recognize when I'm doing something wrong and why, and be able to get to why am I doing this. Even though I know it's wrong, why am I still doing this, you know? I was just sitting over there talking to my man about relationships and women. And, you know, like 2 years ago when I got clean, I knew I'd been a slut most of my life. And I started asking God to take that away and help me not have that defect anymore. And, I don't know, about 7-8 months ago, he started actually doing that for me. And at first, I couldn't figure out what was going on, and then I remembered I had been praying about that. Well, a few months ago, he put this girl in my life, and, you know, I'm an addict. I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it. And I put that on hold. Like, I put that on hold. And I didn't do the things I normally do. And I waited and waited. And then I allowed myself to get what I wanted anyway. But I did it in a different way because I waited and I made sure I waited. And you know, like, here I am today. Like, finding myself going, you know, well, I see this cute girl and that cute girl and this one ain't good enough, and but why is that, you know? And so that's what me and my man was sitting over there talking about, like, you know, things in my life. I'm trying to get to the exact nature of what's going on because I've talked to God about it. And I've asked for guidance from God. And it's one thing I've learned around here after a couple years of Just for Today is that God speaks to me through other people. So if I don't talk to people about what's going on in my life and where I'm at, like, I'm never going to get to the exact nature of what's going on. And that's something that's really important today, is for me to get to why something is going on, because then I can figure out if it's something I'm powerless over, if it's self-will, if it's self-centeredness, if it's just some defect of character that's being revealed to me. you know, I got to get to the exact nature, because without that exact nature, I'm never gonna be able to overcome that and continue to recover. So yeah, me and my man was sitting there talking about it, and you know, it's look, there ain't nothing that happens in my life today by coincidence. Nothing. Like, he came to me and asked me, I was cooking breakfast this morning, and he was on his way to go to another meeting and said, "Yo, what step are you on?" And I said, "Why?" First question, why? Well, we got a bunch of speakers who canceled or didn't show up, and I'm like, "Well, I'm on 6. He's like, "Oh, good, I might need you to speak on that at 10 o'clock. And I'm like, "Well, I ain't worked it yet." Any right to get out of it. And then, you know, then my program kicked in, and I heard my sponsor in my head telling me, "It don't mean nothing. Just because we ain't go over it don't mean you can't share on it." And then I remembered, you know, well, yeah, I could share on that step too. And so I talked to him and told him, you know, "Look, whatever, dude, you know, if you need me to speak, just let me know." So he asked me to speak on, you know, he said, "Well, let's go see." They got somebody, and, you know, they asked me if I could do step 5. And like I said, me and my sponsor went over my step 5, and he has his roots in another fellowship. But, you know, to me, I've learned that recovery is recovery, and it doesn't matter. As long as I can hear someone's experience, strength, and hope, and I can hear the message of, you know, one day at a time, or just for today, I don't have to use, or I don't have to take nothing. It doesn't matter what fellowship I go to. I can hear the message of hope that just for today and one day at a time, I don't have to take nothing. But if I don't get to the exact nature of why I did things and why I do things and why I feel things, I can have all the just for the days and one day at a times in the world. And what have I really worked on? Where have I really come? You know, this past Sunday, a week ago tomorrow, I went to a meeting place down in the city, because this girl that I've known for almost the whole time I've been clean, that I've had relations with, texted me and wanted me to meet up with her. And I went down there with all the intentions. And I was sitting there thinking about, you know, I could go home and I could hide all my girlfriend's stuff and all her daughter's stuff in a closet, because I know this girl ain't going to go through my closets. And I could take her home and I could have one hell of a good time. But then I had to think about how that made me feel. Having those thoughts, I got to hide something. You know, today when I do the right thing, I don't have to hide anything. I can lay it all on the table. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. Because if I got to hide something, it's going to keep me sick, and it's going to make me... it's going to give this disease power in my life, and I don't want it to have any more power than it does. Like, you know, on a daily basis, when I wake up in the morning, I got to surrender my will. Got to surrender myself to a power greater than myself. And ask Him for guidance and strength to get me through the day, because left to me, I'm going to do what I do best. And I'm going to screw my life up so bad. And you know, I've been waking up lately and I've been asking Him to take my will in my life, but it's been like a half-hearted prayer. And you know, I need to get back to that. I think that's something I've been missing, is it's been a half-hearted because I'm so used to doing it every morning. I need to change something in that routine, because I don't feel the way I used to feel. You know, I came up here this weekend. Like, I wanted to come. I didn't want to come with my girlfriend. I wanted to talk to somebody else last Sunday about that and about why I didn't want to come up here with her. And I needed to come up here with her. Because, honestly, I think she probably would have gotten here, but she'd have been a mess getting here. And then I'd have had to feel bad about that, because I knew I could have gotten here a lot easier. I could have gotten her here a lot easier if I'd have just brought her. And what kind of program would I have been working? What kind of recovery would I have been showing her, telling her to find her own way here? And then even last night, you know, after I got here and got camp set up, like, just my own self-centered me time. Like, okay, I got you here. You know some people here. Just go away. Go find some of them people that you met and that you want to talk to and just leave me. I need me time. But I couldn't just tell her that. No, I had to be like, I had to be ignorant and just, like, ignorant and disrespectful and, like, tell her, you know, like, look, I'll just take the car and go home and I'll come pick you up Sunday morning. Like, you can use my tent and all that, whatever. And, you know, she did. She finally, like, she went and did her thing for a little bit. And I finished getting camp set up and getting a fire right and then, I mean, it was time I needed, but, you know, I didn't have to be the way I was about it. I could have simply said, hey, why don't you go see if you can find some of these people, some of these friends that you met when we came up to Indiana for me to speak, and why don't you go see if you can find some of them and go walk around and mingle and hang out, and I need some time for me, and just let me take care of this over here. And when you come back, it'll all be ready, and just that's what I need to do. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't just tell her that, you know, that's what I needed to do for me and my recovery. Like, I don't expect a lot from her. I really don't. Just expect her to love me in return. And she does. And I don't always show it in the way that I should. Like, I do things that I just know to do that I know need done. Like, I put gas in the car and I buy cigarettes and I make sure this is there and that's there and I make sure all these things are there. But, you know, probably one of the simplest things I could do is just tell her that I love her and that I'm proud of her. And that she is doing a good job in her recovery. And I do see growth. But you know that, that's that self-centeredness in me, that addict that's still in there that, I don't know, I just, for some reason, it's hard for me to do that. And usually I gotta be an asshole and make her cry for no reason, in order for me to tell her those things. It's something I know I gotta work on, because if the relationship's ever gonna really work and be what I honestly believe is a godsend for me, like, man, I start high and low, in the rooms, out of the rooms, under all these rocks, in all these high chairs, and I couldn't find nothing that made me happy. You know, I found work, and I started my own business, and I was totally focused on my business at the beginning of summer. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this girl pops up in my face, wanting to hang out with me. And there's me going, what the hell you want to hang out with me for? No, you ain't getting in my way. But she's not in my way. You know, I get up and go to work every day because I'm trying to better my life and in the process help her better hers and give her daughter the life that her daughter deserves and has never had. Like, the life I never had when I was a child. You know, not saying that I had a bad childhood, because I didn't, like, not really. Like, I didn't want for things, I didn't, you know, like, I didn't have this horrible ghetto childhood that, you know, I grew up with a drug dealer on every corner, and babies screaming, and hookers walking up and down the street, and, no, I didn't grow up like it. I grew up in a nice neighborhood, we had a park in the middle of it, and, you know, I had a swimming pool in the backyard. We built a cabin in the backyard that turned into the pool shed. And, like, you know, we had food on the table. And we had cable TV. But, you know, there was something that was missing. My mom and dad drank, and they're both alcoholics. And I never should have drank in my life because I knew that they were alcoholics. But it's not their fault that I'm an addict. I made a decision to use drugs. And I thought I could beat the drugs. So I used more drugs, and I used more drugs, and I used more drugs. And you know what I found out? I lost. But through losing, I've gained so much in my life. Like, without these steps, without these traditions in my life, like, I'd be nowhere. I'd be dead right now. You know, as far as being responsible today, they tell me I'm not responsible for the disease of addiction, but I am responsible for my recovery. And it's so true. Because I can make a conscious decision to participate in my recovery or sit on the sideline. And, you know, in 29 months and 6 days here, if I'd have sat on the sidelines the whole time, and I wouldn't be anywhere. I wouldn't know the people that I know. I wouldn't have the we that I have. Like, I got part of my we just in a group of, like, maybe 5 people, 6 people tops. I got 200 plus years of recovery that I have available to me at any given time. All I got to do is pick up my phone and use it. Like, that's a lot of recovery. And I'm not talking about just clean time. I'm talking about recovery. Like, there's a difference. When they say you're responsible for your recovery, I'm responsible for what I go and learn and what I do about my recovery. I'm responsible for my life today. I can piss it all away at any given time. But what purpose is that going to serve in my life? You know, I ran around and did everything that I wanted to do and was completely irresponsible for 20 years. The only responsibility I had was getting more so that I didn't get sick or I didn't fall asleep. So that I could go to work and make more money. That was the only responsibility I had so that I could get more drugs. Today in my life, you know, I have my own business. I have a girlfriend that has a daughter. I have a mother. I have a father. I got a stepmom. My mom's remarried, and I really don't like the guy. And it's really hard when I go to visit my mom at her house to sit there and look at this guy that I know doesn't treat my mom the way she should be treated. But, you know, she chose that, and she made that bed, and she has to lay in that bed until she can't lay in it no more. I can't help her, and I can't fix it. But I have a responsibility to my mom to visit with her and love her as my mother. I don't like all the things she does, but she's my mom. For 20 years, I did things she didn't like. She never stopped loving me. You know, I got a little brother. And as far as I know, he's probably working on 90 days or so right now. And, man, it fills my heart with joy. Wanted so badly to beat it into him. Can't beat this into somebody. Doesn't work that way. You know, they say this program isn't for people that need it. It's for those of us that want it. And when you want it, you're responsible for it. You make sure you stay responsible. I'm responsible every day to make sure I don't take anything. I'm responsible to call my sponsor. I'm responsible to stay in touch and go to meetings. I'm responsible to work upon the things I know I need to work on. You know, like I said at the beginning, I was taught not to say no, you know. I don't know why I would want to. So that's become a responsibility to me. When somebody asks me to do something for this program, that's part of being responsible for my recovery, is to help someone else that may be going through the same thing I'm going through, but just doesn't know how to talk about it yet. Or maybe can't find the words. I don't know, man. I'm really glad that I came here this weekend. I really am. Like, I've needed to get away from civilization for a minute now. And this is nice. To be up here and be amongst some new friends and see some old friends and just be able to not think about everything back home. Like, really. Because I got a drug dealer that lives in my backyard. I got more that live two doors up. I got another one behind the one in the backyard. I got this sheets right around the corner, right catty corner from me. That's like the biggest spot in the world. And I hate it. It disgusts me. Makes me sick to my stomach. But you know what? For the week, just for today, just for this weekend, that shit don't matter. Because I'm surrounded by a bunch of people that are just like me. They just want to get another day clean. They just want to kick back and enjoy life and relax. And let go of the other responsibilities of life and just have some fun. And, you know, like, that's what I got to be responsible for this weekend. It's just me enjoying this and having fun. That's a pretty easy responsibility, if you ask me. To hang out with a bunch of people that understand me and that I can understand. And not have to worry about the crackhead stealing my shit next door. I don't have to worry about the dope man behind me. I don't have to worry about nothing. God will take care of it all. If I need something to eat and don't have nothing, somebody will feed me. It's something I've learned. As long as I got the willingness to ask for some help, I'm going to get it. I'm responsible to ask for help when I need it. I'm an addict. My name's Mike. Thank you.